Social care, not good enough by miles. Boris Johnson has said that non-urgent operations will be cancelled, and people already in hospital sent home, to free up 30,000 general and acute beds in the NHS to accommodate coronavirus patients. According to Johnson, they will be released into the care of community health providers. Many of these people will be elderly with important social needs. But how will the social care sector cope with the coronavirus crisis after years of privatization and Tory government-imposed austerity implemented by local Labour councils? Glyn Doherty, a trade union organiser, looks at the state of social care and what demands the Labour movement should be fighting for. £8 billion needed, not gonna happen without a fight. Announcing an extra £5 billion for the NHS in the budget, Chancellor Rishi Sunak added an afterthought: the money was for social care too, unintentionally emphasising the poorer cousin status of the social care sector. But failures in social care seriously hamper NHS services. Between the 2017 and 2019 general elections, lack of social care led to 2.5 lost million bed days in the NHS, costing £587 million or £27,000 every hour. The one constant for each austerity and post-austerity government is universal disapproval of their handling of social care. From care providers to service users, condemnation is continual and rightly so. The Tories gave just one page of their 2019 election manifesto to social care. Simon Bottery, social care lead at the King's Fund think tank, tweeted, "This Conservative manifesto three-point plan for #SOCIALCARE isn't a plan and arguably doesn't even have 3 points. It involves 1. A small amount of cash, 2. An offer of cross-party talks with a red line on their goals. Not good enough by miles." Even Boris Johnson said, "I accept the full plan needs to be developed." But it has not been developed since. Health and Social Care Secretary Matt Hancock has written to MPs seeking a cross-party consensus on reforming funding, which critics translate as "we've not got a plan, have you? It can't include extra money BTW." Almost 850,000 people were receiving long-term care in England in 2018, and an aging population will increase demand. Just under half of current social care expenditure is on working-age adults. The lack of funding is acute. The local government association says adult social care services will face a funding gap of nearly £4 billion by 2025, just to cover basic inflationary and demographic pressures. The government claims councils have an extra £1.5 billion for social care this year, but a third of that is only available if they increase council tax by 2%. A further £220 million is already spent to pay for April's minimum wage rise. Austerity has hit social care harder than most sectors. Spending on adult care by local authorities in 2018/19 was £22.2 billion. £300 million below the level it was in 2010/11. 1 in 8 care homes has closed in the past decade, and this figure continues to rise. Over 1,600 no longer exist. Of those that remain, far too many are in the private sector, where the accumulation of profit, not the provision of care, is primary. The Centre for Health and Public Interest published research last year estimating 10% of income for private residential care homes suspiciously leaked out each year. Across the 26 largest care home providers in the UK, £261 million of the money they receive to provide care goes towards repaying debt, £117 million in payments to related companies, a known way of dodging tax and hiding profits. Public sector union Unison quotes a figure of £8 billion that experts say is needed immediately to restore acceptable standards and access to care. That sort of figure is not going to be invested unless there is a battle for it, a fight that must include trade unions, campaigning organizations, service users and providers and labor councils, who must stop making cuts and use their reserves and borrowing powers to set needs budgets. Underpaid. Overstretched. Leaving 1.5 million people work in adult social care in England, in 1.1 million full-time equivalent jobs. Most of them are employed by one of the 18,500 small and medium-sized private providers. There are also almost 150,000 jobs where carers are directly employed by service users. However, virtually a third of care workers leave the social care profession each year. There are currently 120,000 vacancies. Why? The median hourly pay of care workers is around £8 an hour, and the average wage in the sector is below that of shop workers and cleaners. That's why. Trade union density is low in social care, particularly outside of local authorities. Even where Unison, Unite or GMB unions have members, these are often into small numbers, to threaten employers with a united workforce. The unions are not really organizing in private social care, merely providing an individual representation service. Unions need to rethink how they can organize care workers. They need to show they're serious in winning higher pay and better working conditions. Legal victories over traveling time, which two-thirds of care workers don't receive, and sleep and payments have been overturned or rendered toothless. These two issues are crucial in recruitment campaigns, but only by unions promising to fight for workers, not just relying on the courts. Coronavirus, a social care workers charter. All the disparity between council and non-council care workers is being highlighted rapidly by the coronavirus pandemic. In the organized sector, full pay has been protected where workers are forced to self-isolate. In non-organized businesses, owners seek to protect profits by making workers pay for the crisis. But the major effect on social care workers is obvious. The people they look after are the most vulnerable, and, therefore, they are put at the highest risk just for doing their job. This needs special consideration and extra demands. Any care worker who is pregnant, suffers from a chronic organ disease or neurological condition like manuscript, or has diabetes, or is severely asthmatic, should be allowed to self-isolate on full pay immediately. Employers must provide full personal protective equipment, PPE, for all workers at all times. Any worker not provided with adequate PPE to remove themselves from working in potentially dangerous situations on full pay, and without disciplinary sanction, staff who have to miss work through childcare issues during the school's shutdown should not be forced to take leave or resign their post. All care employers to be flexible on shift patterns, and workers must not be penalized for actually controlling the spread of the virus. Councils to ensure private providers of social care are granting the same protection measures for staff as local authority care workers. Those failing to do so will lose the contract with the services and staff brought under immediate council control. Councils to refuse to implement cuts, use their reserves and borrowing powers, and organize a campaign to demand that the government finds the money necessary to fund social care and other vital services. Ultimately, the entire care industry must be brought into public ownership and run under democratic control and planning by workers along with service users and their families.